Well, for the past several weeks, we've been in a series entitled Be Courageous. And here's one of the things that we've said is when we hear the word courage or a phrase like be courageous, we think that it has to be something that's like way outside of our realm. We think it has to be something that's outside of our routine, something that's outside of the everyday aspect of life. And some people would just say, you know, my life is boring. It's just kind of here. I really don't know how to be courageous. How could I be courageous in my life? What could I do that could be considered to be courageous? Because after all, not everybody in life runs into a burning building and rescues someone. Not everybody comes in and breaks up a robbery. Not everyone saves a life. And we just kind of look and think, wow, this is really not that exciting. How could I go ahead and live a life that could just be described a life of courage or being courageous? Well, for the past several weeks, here's what we've said. Sometimes being courageous is not doing your thing, and it's not doing someone else's thing. It's doing God's thing. It's doing the right thing when it might be easier to do your own thing or to do someone else's thing. It's going ahead and doing what is just, not necessarily what you can justify. You see, sometimes being courageous might be something heroic, and other times being courageous might just be doing the right thing. Well, today we've come to a place in the book of Joshua where we're going to take a look at a farewell address. Now, some farewell addresses are really exciting. Some farewell addresses are really sad. I remember the last conversation that I had with my pop-pop in Withville, Virginia. They had moved from the place where I had always known, and it was a little apartment that they could take care of, and just a little place, and right there in that living room, I remember the last conversation that we had, and how he said, "We'll see each other again someday. Don't know when it'll be, but we'll see each other again at some point in time." And he prayed with me, and I went on my way back to school in Lynchburg. Those were the last words I had with him. I remember a farewell address, so to speak, that I had with a man by the name of Harry Heibarger. Harry Heibarger was a pastor in this area and out in the Rockville area for many, many years. And he grew up in years, and his wife Dorothy had passed away, and she had went on to heaven. And I sat in a nursing home in Rockville as this guy that was a faithful man was laying in his bed, and my dad was there, and we were just talking, and I was just kind of listening, and he was in and out of the conversation, and with absolute clarity, the last words I ever heard him speak and his farewell address to us at that point in time and to this life, what was this? With a gleam in his eye, he looked right at my dad, and he looked right at me, and with a deep, thundering voice, he said, "Larry, I'm going to that city." And with that, he departed. Well, today we look at the words of Joshua. And Joshua gives a farewell address that's a memorable farewell address. He gives a farewell address and he begins to share some things that are absolutely incredible for the life of the people that he was leading, but they're incredible for your life and for my life today. Because as we've talked about being courageous, some of us want to live a courageous life. Some of us want a life that's different than what we have right now. And here's what Joshua says. Joshua says, "I've been talking with you about this courageous life. I've been passing on what I received back at the beginning of this thing, and I'm trying to share it with you. So this is how you can go ahead and live a life that is courageous." You remember at the beginning, Joshua said, "If you want to go ahead and live a life that's courageous, I'm going to tell you what God told me. And God told me to listen to his voice. He told me to arise and go. And he said, leave the consequences to me, Joshua, because I will take care of it." Well, the first thing for you to be courageous and for me to be courageous is to listen to the voice of God. Be willing to arise and go, do what he's leading us to do, but then we must go ahead and leave the consequences to him. Because sometimes we have an idea of what he wants us to do, but sometimes we're afraid of those consequences because we can't see how everything's going to pan out. We can't see how the picture is going to go ahead and be completed because it may just not make sense to us, or we just can't see far enough in advance, and we really want to follow God, but we're kind of anxious and we're kind of hesitant. Joshua said, "Here's the secret to being courageous. Listen to the voice of God, arise and go, and leave the consequences to Him. In fact, why don't you just say that with me? Let's just say it together. Listen to Him, all right? Listen to Him, arise and go, leave the consequences to Him. Leave the consequences to Him. It's easy to say, it's difficult to do. It's easy to say, I'm going to listen to God's direction, but it gets a little bit harder to arise and go. Certainly gets a little more challenging to say, I'm going to do what He wants me to do, and I'm going to leave the consequences to Him. Well, today in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua's going to go ahead and give some insight, some basic things that will help us live a life that can be considered being courageous. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse number 6, he says this. He kind of starts off as God started off with him. Back in Joshua chapter 1, God comes to him and he says, Joshua, I need you to be courageous. He says, no, I need you to be very courageous. Then he says, I need you to be of a good courage. Well, Joshua kind of picks up that same theme in Joshua chapter 23, verse number 6. He says, therefore, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go in to them, and they to you. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, and not one word of them has failed. Joshua stands before a group. He stands before a massive crowd of people, and he says, I'm getting ready to take that final departure. He says, this is my farewell address. It's getting ready to take place in my life. And he says, I want you to think about something. He says, God has not failed you in one aspect. And in fact, not one word that he promised has been left lacking. He says he's done everything that he's promised. He's done everything that he said he would do. So how do we keep life going in that direction? How do we keep living in the blessings of God? How can we continue to go ahead and move forward with courage as we have in these past years that we've spent together? Joshua tells him a handful of things. And the first thing that he talks about in living a life of courage and being courageous and following God at all costs, because that's what Joshua says. He says, you've got to follow Him at all costs. How can we do that? How did they do that? What's the secret for you and for me? Well, I think the first thing that Joshua says is we need to go ahead and be committed with conviction. In verse number 6, he tells us something that's extremely important, and he just says, therefore, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. He says, look, there's this temptation, and you're always going to think about, maybe I could go this way, or I could do this, and we're going to have choices, but Joshua says, here's the key to living a life of courage. It's commitment with conviction. Commitment just simply means a predetermined choice. Joshua says, I need you to go ahead and make up your mind. I need you to make up your mind to be committed to what God wants you to be committed to. That's it. It's just cut and dry. He says, here's the secret. Here's the right way to go ahead and live a life of courage, and he starts off with a gut check of their commitment. Listen to what God told Joshua back in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, Joshua's not coming up with some newfound thing that he's discovered. Joshua's not saying, man, I've got the secret right here that I've invented for you to have a life that's courageous. People are going to look at you and think, wow, you've just figured it out. You've cornered the market on courage. Joshua says, if you want to live a life that's filled with courage, if you want to live a life that could be described as being courageous, he says, here's where it starts. Commitment and conviction, a predetermined choice to go ahead and live according to the word of God, according to the will of God, but then there's a conviction at the heart level that you're not going to depart from it. Why is that important? Because Joshua said, look, there's going to be the temptation to go to the right. There's going to be the temptation to go to the left. There's going to be all kinds of other gods among these people. Because there's still some segments of their culture that are alive, and they're going to challenge your faith, and they're going to challenge your decision. But here's what he says. He says, don't even consider it, to the point that you don't even need to mention their name. Don't even think about it. Don't look at it. Don't dwell on it. Just stay committed and convicted that God is the answer. When we begin to think about commitment and conviction, Joshua says a couple of things. And he says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. What does it mean to go ahead and keep? Keep literally means to know, think, and dwell. It means to treasure up. So Joshua says, the secret to living a life of courage, the secret to having a life that's described as being courageous, is to go ahead and keep the word of God. To treasure it up, to go ahead and make it a value. Joshua was standing before the people, and he says, look, this is the advice that I received. This is the direction that I received, so I just want to pass it along to you. It's worked for us as I've been your leader. We've seen some great moments. We came across the Jordan. We saw the walls at Jericho fall. We had a little setback at Ai, but we got that corrected, and we went on, and we took that, and there have been so many amazing things that God has done. He says, here's the secret. It's commitment with conviction. He says, we need to decide to treasure these words that God has given Moses, these words that God is giving us right now. Let me ask you something. How much do you treasure God's word? How much do you treasure? Because when he says keep, he's not saying keep it and keep it all to yourself. He's not saying, hey, I want you to go ahead and keep it and corner it and go ahead and display it over here. He says, I want you to treasure it to the point that you will do all of it. He says, I want you to be so committed and I want you to be so convicted that you will treasure it, and then you'll begin to go ahead and not only keep it, but that you will go ahead and do it. He says to live it out. You know, one of the biggest struggles in living a life of courage, living a life that's described as courageous from a standpoint of how God would go ahead and describe it is this. There's always that little bit of pressure from other places. There's always those other options that might seem okay. Do you know what Joshua tells the people? I mentioned it just a moment ago, but Joshua says, do what's just, not what you can justify. Because it would have been very easy for the people to go back and look and look at the remnant of this nation and that nation and this faith and that faith and to be able to say, look, they are doing it. They are doing it. What's wrong with me doing it? If you have children, you're a parent, and you have children at home, or you had children at home, at one point in time, we've all heard this. Everybody else is doing it, right? I mean, they come home, and they want to go to the game, and you're like, no, that's really not going to work, and they play the card. Everyone else is doing it. Or they want the pair of jeans or the piece of technology or whatever it might be. Everybody else has it. Everybody else is doing it. As a parent, you go ahead and think of a lot of different things. Well, if everybody else was going to jump off the bridge, would you go too? And then you get that. That's not even on the same realm, you know. Here's what Joshua tells him. Joshua says, look, here's the reality. There's going to be a lot of choices. There's got to be a lot of temptations that you're going to face. He says, do what's just, not what you can justify. This morning, I checked some emails, and I just came across this statement from David Livingstone. It's just a quote, and it's a tremendous quote. And he says this, there is one safe and happy place, and that is the will of God. Joshua is going to go ahead and begin to describe that. He says, guys, there's one safe and happy place. There's a place that's safe. It's a place it's happy. It's a place where you can live a life of courage and be courageous. And here it is. It's in the will of God. So he says, I want you to go ahead and be committed to it. I want you to have some conviction with it, which means you're convinced at the heart level. So you're not just going to go ahead and lay it aside. We could talk a lot about commitment and conviction. We could spend a lot of time there. Joshua says, look, here's the answer. It's decided in a predetermined choice. What are you going to be committed to? He says you need to be committed to keeping God's word. That's to treasure it. You need to be committed to living it out, to doing it, to carrying it out. He says, but look, when we get into this, we're talking about keeping and we're talking about doing. And there's going to be a lot of other choices, so you need conviction. It needs to be driven deep within your heart so that when you have the choice to make, the choice has already been made that you're going to follow God, that you're going to live a life that's described as courageous. You know, one of the best ways to live a life that's described as courageous is to make up your mind to be courageous before the moment comes. To commit to living a life of courage and saying, okay, I'm committing to do the right thing when it might be easier to do someone else's thing. I'm committing to do what God wants me to do right here and right now. I'm going to drive that stake in the ground, and that's the way I'm going to live, and that's what I want my life to be. Joshua looks at the people and he says, look, I'm getting ready to make my departure. It happens to all of us. It's the way of the earth, but here's the reality. Before I go, I want to tell you, be committed with conviction. Be convinced that God's way is the right way. Sometimes one of the great struggles in the Christian life is this. We're just not completely convinced that God's way is the right way. And can I tell you, I'm not perfect. There have been moments in my life where I have said, wow, I've got God's way, I've got John's way, I've got their way. And you know what? God's way seems a little more restricting and a little more challenging and a little more difficult. And here's what I've come to discover. That John's way may have looked a little bit easier and a little bit better and a little bit more comfortable, or somebody else's way may have looked a little bit more attractive at that moment in time. But you know what I've discovered from making the wrong choice? That God's way is always the best way. And some of you could say the same thing today as well. God's way is always the best way, and that's what Joshua is telling them, and that's what Joshua is telling us today. He says, I want to go ahead and let you know I'm committed to this process. Joshua says, look, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little warning. Joshua is undoubtedly committed to God's way, but here's what he says. He says, I want you to go ahead and be committed, but as you're committed, I want to give you a warning. Verse number 7, he says this, unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them. In verse number 7, he says, look, commitment to following God is great, but I just want you to be aware that there are some challenges. He says the people and the circumstances, they're still there. There's going to be temptations. What kind of temptations? Temptations to serve other gods. Temptations to go ahead and align your life with people who don't follow God. Joshua says, I'm just giving you a little warning that you need to be committed to God. And you need to have a conviction with that commitment. Because here's the reality. No matter who you are, no matter how spiritual you are, and no matter how much God has blessed, and no matter how many victories you've had, guess what? There's going to be the temptation. There's going to be the peer pressure. There's going to be the moment where you think, wow, I can go ahead and I can just do this my way, and it's really not going to be that big of a deal. Joshua says, look, here's a warning. You know what Hebrews 3:13 says? It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know what Joshua was saying in Joshua 23 and verse number 7? He says, there's going to be the temptation to go ahead and make your life in this way. There's going to be the temptation to serve their gods and to make mention of their name. But do you know what? We need to warn each other and we need to keep each other aware that what happens is it looks okay and we think it doesn't do much damage, but then we've been deceived and we wake up one day and our whole life and culture and our family or the circumstances have changed and we're wondering how it got that way. Paul writes it this way in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 27. He says, don't give place to the devil. Don't let him in. When Joshua stands up and he gives his farewell address, he begins to go ahead and tell the people that he's looking at, look, it may seem harmless to you, but don't give another religion a foothold in your life. Don't serve another God. Don't talk about another God. Don't go ahead and let it come in any way, shape, or form. Because here's what happens. We give him a little place, and it begins to take over, begins to spread. Joshua says, you want to live a life of courage? I want to go ahead and encourage you to be committed, but I want to give you a warning as well. You see, Joshua warned, writers in the New Testament warned, we need to warn. And by warning them, Joshua was just encouraging them. He was saying there's a real imminent danger that's out there. It's something that we deal with, something that we have to face, and we have to make up our mind that if we're going to live a life that's marked as a life of courage, we need to follow God. He tells them something else in verse number 9. He says, for the Lord has driven out from before you a great and strong nation, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. Why? Because of the Lord. He says, one man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Joshua says, just in case you're wondering, I just want to remind you, you need to be committed to God's strength. Joshua says, that whole crossing the Jordan at flood stage, going in and marching around the walls of Jericho and giving a blast of trumpets and all the other things and that shout and the walls falling. He says, I just want to remind you that it was not you. Joshua is getting before the people and he says this in a very nice way. He says, look, I want to remind you that you're not as good as you think you are. Sometimes we could use that reminder. Joshua is telling them, look, I love you and I want to look out for you. Don't ever come to a place where you're trying to live life in your own strength. Because when you begin to live life in your own strength, here's what you're going to do. You're going to say, wow, I've got it pretty good. I'm making some pretty good decisions. I'm pretty successful. My life is taking off. I'm getting a hold on this. And we begin to walk away from being committed and convicted about God's plan and God's way, and we begin to go ahead and move into our own effort, our own strength, and we begin to operate from that standpoint. Joshua says, look, how does one man chase 1,000? It's God. How do we cross the Jordan? It's God. How do we win those battles? It's God. He says, God's strength is the answer. If God's strength was the answer for Joshua and the people of Israel on that day, then God's strength is the answer for you and me on this day. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 10. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in need, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. But he sums it up here. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying all of those problems and all of those circumstances challenge me to go back to Jesus and depend on him. He says, because when I'm dependent upon him, then I am strong. When I'm just dependent upon me, what does Paul say? Paul says, man, I'm the chief of sinners. I do things that I know I shouldn't do and things that I know I should do, I don't do. How does that happen in our life? Those things happen to all of us when we become completely dependent upon ourselves, when we begin to live in our own ability, when we begin to live in our own strength, when we become dependent upon ourselves. Joshua stands before a group of people and he says, look, the answer to this life of courage isn't going out and trying to get something that's outside of you. That's not the answer. He says, be committed to God's plan with conviction. Hold fast to it no matter what takes place. He says, I want you to go ahead and warn one another as I'm warning you today. He says, just look out for each other. Do what you can to encourage one another to hold tight to God. Remember that it's his strength. But then he says, I want to encourage you to be committed to God's promises. In verse number 14, he says, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Joshua says, I want you to be committed to God's promises. Committed to God's promises. Joshua said, a life of courage. If you want to be courageous, be committed to God's promises. Why? Because God's promises are greater than your feeling. God's promises are greater than your intuition. God's promises is greater than your plan. He says God has not failed to keep one small area that he's promised. You can go to the bank on God's promises. He's going to take care of it. So Joshua says, look, I want you to keep his word completely because God's word does not fail. He says, you know what? I just want to remind you there are consequences to not following God's promises. Verse number 15, he says, therefore, it shall come to pass. He says, this is going to happen. You can count on it. That as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things. He says, if you want to go out and do your own thing, guess what? Disobedience equals disaster every time. Disobedience equals disaster. That's what Joshua says. That's not what I'm telling you. Joshua is telling you the truth. Joshua is giving the people what God gave him. God told Joshua, if you'll go ahead and follow my word, if you'll follow all that's written in the law of Moses and you won't depart from it, guess what? You're going to have good success. Some of us want more success in our life, in our career, in our family, in our finances, in our relationships. The answer to being courageous in all of those and in any area of life is found in following God's plan. It's found in being courageous enough where we'll say, okay, I'm going to be committed and convicted that God's way is the best way. I'm going to be committed and accept those warnings that Joshua threw out there where he says, look, there's going to be temptations to go another way. There's going to be other gods. There's going to be cultural pressure. Your friends are going to do some different things. But he says, be convicted. Stay with God. Why? Because with God's strength, you can accomplish great things. You go off on your own, and life is going to be miserable. He says, I want you to be committed to God's promises because God's promises will not fail. But he says, remember, disobedience is going to equal disaster. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You know what that means? That means that God keeps his word. That there's nothing in this life and there's no one that can undo his word. Think about that. His word is settled in heaven. That means nothing can shake it. Nothing can change it. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, I love how Peter describes it. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. It means that he's just not flippant. He doesn't just throw out a promise and never have an intention of keeping it. Joshua says, look, God keeps his promises, so do things his way. Peter says, look, God's promises are real. Follow him. He wants you to come to him and know him as Savior, but he wants you to walk with him each and every day. Let me ask you something. What do you need to be courageous about today? What do you need to be courageous about today? Sometimes we think that being courageous is something that's outside of us, some heroic act. Sometimes we think that being courageous requires the absence of fear. Mark Twain said, being courageous isn't the absence of fear, it's the mastery of fear. Knowing that there's something greater that we can go ahead and overcome that circumstance with. I would tell you today, whatever your situation is and whatever's going on in your life, that we all have moments that we need to step up and be courageous. Moments that are bigger than we are. And we all have the routine moments of life that just kind of seem normal, humdrum, so to speak. But Joshua says the key to being courageous in everyday life is this: coming to that place where we say, I'm going to be committed with conviction that God's word and God's way is not just a way, it's the right way, and I'm going to follow it, and I'm going to live my life for him. What do you need to be courageous about? Follow God's way and live a courageous life for him. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to sing a verse, an invitation hymn, and with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask you today, are you certain that Christ is one that you follow? You see, we come together and we come to church not just to go ahead and sing a couple of songs, not just to see other people, but because Jesus gave his life so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and so that we could know him, so that he could be our Savior. Today, if you're not certain that Jesus is your Savior, but you'd like to find out more, just a moment when we begin to sing, there'll be people right here at the front that you can come and talk to, and I would encourage you just to leave your place and come, and someone will take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Jesus is your Savior. Maybe you're here today, and you would say, John, I know Jesus is my Savior, but honestly, I need to be more committed. to God's way, to God's word, to what his word teaches and says. I know it, but I need to be committed and convicted that it's the right way. Maybe some of you might say you've got some pressures, some struggles, some things going on around you that maybe you're surrounded with in circumstances, and it makes it hard for you to go ahead and live your faith. Joshua said we need God's strength to do that. Maybe today you would just say, Lord, help me to depend upon you. Help me to draw my strength from you. Whatever your need might be, in just a moment when we begin to sing, I just want to invite you to leave your place and come. If you need someone to pray with you, we'll have someone pray with you. If you want to pray alone, that's fine. Whatever your need might be, just let God have his way in your life. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? If you know the words, I invite you to sing along. Most importantly, I encourage you to respond to God's leading.